you just stick your finger in it?
I'm trying, but it's too small. It's spilling all around the edges. Hang on. I'm going to try a banana. No, that's no better. It's spraying even further.
Oh, look at that. My script's gone all soggy now.
Dura drives, I tell you. That's what you need. Waterproof, smash resistant, even Thargoid repelling.
What's that winking light?
That one? That's low battery.
Well, before it goes completely on the blink, let's get through this week's headlines.
Falcon de Lacy leaks pythons?
Galactic politics set to get spicy in 3310.
The Waller is back, and other too hot, too messy news.
Chicks, bricks, lump.
Pilots voice concern over master plans being broadcast over open media.
Colonia back on the level as Hunky breathes a sigh of relief.
And we look at the rest of Hutton Space.
Falcon de Lacy, the undisputed leader in the field of multi-role medium ships, has suffered a leak this week. Since the 2700s, under the name of Wotton Pritney, the mainstay of Falcon de Lacy's range has been the Venerable Python. Popular around the galaxy for its ability to haul huge amounts of materials, but being small and manoeuvrable enough to act as a big tub of a fighter craft or skirt around recently destroyed asteroids in search of elusive void opal fragments, the Python outclasses nearly everything in its class. Classily. And for those that want something that's a bit like a python but can launch fighters and is a little more shooty, there's always a crate. In fact, there are two crates. Supposedly secret plans by Falcon de Lacy for a new model of ship made their way in an unsealed brown envelope pushed under the door of one Chuck Handgun of the Pilots Federation. Given that he was gluing together his first Pilots Federation update for months, he couldn't resist. There it was, in big. The Python Mark II. Pilots throughout the galaxy who've been bemoaning the fact that they've got nothing new to spend their untold squillions of credits on suddenly went silent. The doomsayers, who, week in, week out, tell everyone that will listen that the age of the spacefarer is done and dusted, were suspiciously silent. A few cunning individuals came up with,
"But what's it for? Surely a Python Mark II is just a Python with different greebles."
But no. A little sticky note attached to the image was quite clear that the Python Mark II is a Python in name, but serves an entirely new purpose out there in the galaxy. Looking at the sleek lines, the smooth curves, the lack of razor-sharp edges, is this a Python built to new crash tusk dummy standards without dangerous corners? Is it Falcon de Lacy's attempt to stick one to the Thargoids? Is that stealth armor? Is it made of Grelic alloys? Does it glow in the dark? Is there one of those vulture-style drop bays in it for airdropping whole cohorts of heavily armed and armored troops over a war zone? Or is it slippery like that so it can enter thicker atmospheres? Or oceans? Or lava? Okay, maybe not lava. But certainly those big glowing portals of doom inside the Thargoid Titans. It could be just the right kind of suppository to give them the Thargoid squits and send them running home to spend a millennia or two on what passes for a Thargoid gazunder whilst groaning their abdomen is turning itself inside out. On the reverse of the sticky note, the words, "And there are three more coming,"
the Type 8, the Anaconda Mark II, maybe an Imperial hedge trimmer. We can't wait and have our Hutton decals on standby, ready to apply at a moment's notice.
In an effort following the news in the first of tonight's articles to take the Doomsayers and the rock they've gone to hide under and teleport them to Andromeda with extreme prejudice, the Pilots Federation have announced news of their own. Looking down the list of things that are most requested by pilots out there in the galaxy, and then crossing off the silly ones. On foot combat versus Thargoids? Well, that's silly. If taking off and nuking them from orbit isn't an option, sticking one's head in the mandibles of a vicious Thargy space beastie is not on the menu. The Panther Clipper. I believe they just said lol and muttered something about lube and a shoehorn. That's a short-term nope. Oh, and that's up to the ship manufacturer and the insurers who look after the docking bay toast racks. Anything combining the words open and only and BGS. Fixing those words together in a sentence causes a number of the staff to go down with the apoplectic mods and start throwing things. And fights in station concourses between pilots? Well, okay, but only for pilots who are in open. So what does that leave from the most requested list? Power play. Here at Hutton, we are sure of a couple of facts. One, almost all Hutton truckers would rather boil themselves in Grelick soup than dip their toes into galactic politics on that scale, mainly as it involves stapling the flag of some distant personage from a portrait to your mast. Okay, so most Hutton truckers have dipped a toe in the water, but only to get the shields, or the guns, or the free goodies after 4 weeks, but quit thereafter. Two, power play. Yeah. However, items 1 and 2 on our list do not preclude the more interesting things in the horizon. The heads of the various galactic crime families, governments, is there a difference between those first two? And hippie communes have obviously got their heads together and looked at the very pretty bubble map that monitors their influence level, conveniently ignored the Swiss cheese effect caused by independent factions, having and holding and aiming to hold forevermore their own little fiefdoms, and decided that they want a bigger slice of the pie. Whether that's a square pie, or a dish of stew with a lid, or a proper honest-to-dog proper pie with a bottom and a little ceramic birdie on the top to let the steam out, is yet to be seen. But as ever, Hutton stands ready to pour our 10 credits in the slot and give it a go. You never know, it might be new, fun and interesting way to bash the local federal galactic superpower with the mug of nope.
Week 78 of Too Hot Too Messy saw Commandos pass the 118,000 delivery mark, and for the stats nerds out there, we are closing on having mug 30% of what we think might possibly be out there. We delivered over 50% more mugs than this week, but let's face it, it was a pretty low bar. But we did deliver more than 800, and the four-weekly average is just over 870, which is the lowest it's ever been. Oh, hang on, Waller 81 has been on holiday for a few weeks. Well, that explains an awful lot. Welcome back, Commander. The approach routes to Hutton are totally clear this week. Traffic is as light as we've ever seen it, and you can expect to get a landing pad on your first request. There have been two Hutton runs this week, both are from Steve King, and the fastest of these was 1 hour 24 minutes 9 seconds.
Nurse Wyeth had to hit the big red emergency button earlier today in the triage section of the Hutton Infirmary. Cue medics running everywhere, a cool theme tune over the speakers, people saying complicated medical words with the word stat at the end, and floor mopping guy cleaning up all the red that was all over the floor. But first, a word from the apology officer.
Hutton incident report. Date, 1st of not January anymore, yay! 3310. Location, the Hutton workshop. Incident type, damage to body parts, leakage of red on the concourse, spare filter overload. Incident detail. Hutton authorities were notified earlier today of the emergency infirmary alarm being activated by Nurse Wyeth. On attending the scene, paramedic and EMT personnel reported that it looked like something out of a bad horror B movie. Red everywhere, people slipping up in it. Commander Chick sitting on a hospital stretcher with Nurse Wyeth holding a sponge to his head. A very red sponge. We don't actually have any red sponges. Commander Chix was insisting that he was fine, and it was only a flesh wound, and using phrases like, "You know how head injuries leak, 'tis nothing." After application of a spray tube of Leak No More to the site of the injury, smelling salts to the paramedics and EMTs who had fainted, and a sling for the guy who'd slipped over and hurt himself, plus judicious application of floor mopping guy's number 4 mop and bucket combo, the situation was resolved.
As the first reporter on the scene, and after interviewing all concerned, it turns out that it was indeed a self-inflicted injury. Commander Chix, working in the machine room at Utnorbital, had been beavering away with his various tools without the proper protective gear. The workshop safety supervisor, in full tactical combat gear, thick goggles and a nifty looking clipboard, had reminded Commander Chix that whilst working the hydraulic hammer, he was supposed to be wearing a hard hat, which was on the bench. Absorbed with looking for his 3/8 Gripply, as the 10mm one was marginally too big, and the station parts he was working on were clearly made by the night shift and measured out in bananas, or maybe giraffe halves, he didn't pay much attention to what he was being told, and promptly grabbed his hard hat and plonked it down on his noggin. At which point he located where he'd put the 3/8 Gripply. They're quite knobbly, and he did put the hard hat on with rather more force than was entirely necessary. It turns out that in this age of modern medicine, Remlock devices, advanced nanomedicines and the like, safety officers really aren't used to the sight of red. Space paramedics and EMTs aren't used to the sight of red either. In fact, just about the only person who is, apart from Van Tayon, who has cultivated getting red on himself into a fine art, is Nurse Wyeth. The panic button was pushed as everyone else was panicking. Anyway, a few lessons have been learned. 1. Never put anything in your helmet you wouldn't put on your head. 2. Never put your helmet on your head too hard. And 3. When the Hutton safety officer asks you to do something, just show them your competent rating on your commander profile and tell them to sign a form.
It appears that Galnet, the ever-present, ever ready to cover the latest gossip and ever eager to inform the Galaxy News outlet, might be moonlighting as an inadvertent mole for Tharg the Mighty and his, or her, or their insectoid entourage. Recent articles have been as leaky as a sieve, being used to boil soup. With details about newfangled anti-Thargoid tech giving the green goons a leg up in the ongoing galactic game of cat and mouse. The latest blunder comes hot on the heels of a series of well-intentioned but perhaps misguided reports detailing the collection of Thargoid and Guardian artifacts. These efforts, aimed at giving humanity an upper hand, might just be the celestial equivalent of handing the enemy the blueprints to the Death Star. One can't help but wonder if Tharg the Mighty has upgraded his subscription to include the Galnet Premium Package, complete with a Tharg Translatortron, Mark Argyll, to interpret the nuances of human dialects and locate where on Earth, on a human, the exhaust port is, and whether a well-placed detonation might cause some significant injury. Consider the fiasco over in HIP 22460. Was it just a stroke of bad luck, or did Tharg the Mighty have a heads up thanks to Galnet's galactic gossips? The Thargoids, notorious for not being very well understood, are apparently well versed in the Queen's English, courtesy of Galnet. The situation begs the question, should we switch to a more obscure language? Perhaps communicating in Klingon, or better yet, Welsh? Since everyone knows the Thargoid's antenna curl at the mere sound of a male voice choir. Or maybe it's high time we embrace the art of mime. Let's see them translate that. In an age where loose lips sink ships seems more relevant than ever, Galnet's enthusiastic updates could be seen as a buffet of information. With Tharg the Mighty gleefully munching away our strategic plans. So next time you tune into Galnet, for the latest scoop on anti-Thargoid efforts, spare a thought for the possibility that Tharg the Mighty might be chuckling to him or her or themself in some distant star system, tapping his claws in glee at our unwitting disclosures. As we eagerly await the Mark II Pythons, let's hope they come equipped with a feature to help Galnet's revelations keep Galnet's revelations under wraps. Or we might all end up as intergalactic hors d'oeuvres. Until then, remember, when it comes to sensitive info, mum's the word. Or we'll all be saying, Methruhogeni. That's apparently sorry in Welsh. To the last of humanity.
With last week's alert sending commanders gallivanting across the galaxy to prevent precipitous plummeting of Hutton's hitherto high influence and to prevent the poles being stacked against us, and indeed the pesky pugilists from pummeling the hanky, we have better news this week. George Pantassis is safe. Tia is safe. Pythias is safe. E.L. Procol Centauri is safe. And King Hanky is having a bit of a lie down after his wild shenanigans fighting off the intruders last week. Okay, so there's a little matter of an infrastructure failure over in Pythias. But rumours are that Commander Attic used a number of the pipes on the walls to fend off the invaders without checking what they were first. He did try and put them all back, but it appears that the piping for the fresh water and the piping for the food machines that turn grey goo into edible nosh got mixed up. We won't even comment about the station's air conditioning supporting... We won't even comment about the station's air conditioning pipework being connected to the outflow from Cubicle 3. Needless to say, when it got a bit warm in Pythias and one of the visiting tourists whacked their room up to frosty, what actually happened is forever etched in their memory. The entire system has been condemned and we're awaiting delivery of replacement parts and a bevy of fitters to connect the right thing to the right doohickey and get the appropriate fluids, gases and gloop flowing in the right direction. As for Teresa, there was confusion about what was happening there, as apparently King Hanky had come to an arrangement with one of the other factions there who didn't want to lose their own Pierre Deter in the system, had a pinky promise to give the station and the system back after they secured that eventuality. There's ongoing debate about whether Hutton actually honours pinky promises or not, and as a result the conflict there is honours even, with Hutton fighting on both sides and in general everyone being a little confused. When asked about it, King Hanky shrugged and just promised to pick up all the pieces once it was done.
Things are going through somewhat of a... Oh, thank Alvin! That is finally February. Five in Hutton Space this week. Five systems are on Alvin's report, and for the third week in a row, they're all in the 30s. More on those stories coming up. For the third week in a row, Ross 671 is fending off Barnard's star to maintain its extended grip on the wooden spoon, ending the week a point down on 30. That 13-point gap to second place has halved to just 6 points. So it fumbled its hold on the timber utensil, but Barnard's star managed to clear its infrastructure failure and bounce back by 4 points to 35. An election between 3rd and 4th is locking up a quarter of influence for the foreseeable, so Ross 671 isn't out of the woods yet. All that bear poo. Ugh. A system we haven't seen on Alvin's report for a few months is Kakari, which has wiggled its way into the 30s, ending the week tucked between the perennial no-hopers on 34. A war is pending which will lock up over a quarter of the influence. As mentioned just now, Barnard's star briefly took the bottom spot midweek, but lost its grip by being slightly less crap than Ross 671, ending the week on 35. The other six factions have 4 civil unrest, 2 pairs of busts, a famine, 2 outbreaks, and an infrastructure failure. Hard to move Epsilon indeed lost a point to end the week on 36. Nothing's happening there right now, so sneak in and do some good to Hutton's influence. Lastly, 36 off Yuki, which, until last week, hadn't been on Alvin's report since Christmas, has dropped a couple of points to 37. I can confirm that the stirring in George's pants has subsided and that the system has experienced a substantial rise of 13 points. The Wharf Control with George's Pants Crimson Bridge concluded in a 4-2 victory after Truckers successfully beat them off. The drought in Leuton 145-141 was slaked and the system is now reporting an issue of rising damp. Commander Rigsby is on the job. Well, at least he'd like to be. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have just one system above 60 and one above 70. Some priorities this week are, if you want to chuck something, boost Ross 671 and Epsilon Indy.